93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia, everything that rocks. And the music of the Foo Fighters, a couple of songs from them. And our guest has arrived, as I promised you he would. He has begun a 19-date solo acoustic tour. It began in Boston on October 7th. It'll run through November. It brings him to the TLA on South Street tonight. A few tickets remain. He's also known as the singer of Stain, and his name is Aaron Lewis. Good day to you, Aaron.
What's happening, bud?
Hey, it's nice to have you back.
It's always good to be back.
You guys have done MM Archive sessions for us, acoustic sessions. Stained has played our festival, the MM Barbecue. We've known you for quite a while now. And the solo acoustic thing fascinates me because you've been doing these sessions for how long now?
8 years, I think.
How did it start?
I had an opportunity to go and play a couple casinos. And the next thing I knew, I was playing lots of casinos, and I still do every year, kind of like a yearly cycle. And it's been so successful that, you know, the next step was to take it out on a tour, and I did that for the first time, like, officially in a tour bus hopping from city to city in 07. Mm. And have continued to play the casino shows, and I mean at the Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut, I'm at 37 shows in a row sold out.
Come on.
I've sold out every show that I've played there.
Wow.
Including the huge arena twice.
Wow.
Three
when
times.
I fly to Lake Tahoe, I see you in Reno.
Silver Legacy.
Yeah, Silver Legacy. Yeah, I've seen
I've been playing there for like 8 years now.
And our friend Larry Mullen from the Borgata in Atlantic City, which is truly the nicest of the casinos. I think he was one of the first to bring you in on that solo acoustic thing.
I've been playing for him for like 6 years now. Yeah,
great stuff. Why do you like it so much?
It's what I did before I played with the band. You know, I watched my dad doing it as I grew up. And you know, that's... I learned how to play the acoustic guitar so that I could do that.
Hmm.
And that's why I'm not some guitar virtuoso, but I can play along with myself, you know?
Well, you've talked a lot about how it's great because in Stained, you really don't talk a lot between the songs. Here, you can be conversational. It can be like your living room, essentially, and people can get close to you as well.
Yeah, it really is. I mean... he can hear everything you're saying. I'm playing songs that people are yelling out. It's extremely random and spontaneous, and I don't make a set list and just have a good time with it.
Yeah, Jackson Brown has been doing that forever and ever. He plays with a band and he'll play acoustic. But when you go to see Jackson these days acoustically, he'll have like 50 guitars in a semicircle behind him and a couple of keyboards. And he'll start with one or two songs, and then the audience just calls out stuff, and he'll go, yeah, I like that. Let's do that one. And he'll go over there, and he'll go, no. Try to give me something else. And people will call stuff out. And I asked him, I said, doesn't that drive you crazy? Because you don't sort of have a middle and an ending. He says, well, I sort of know where I'm going to end, but we'll see where we go on the journey.
Right. I know the last two songs that I play for the evening.
Right.
I just... save the ones that everybody really wants to hear for the end.
Cool.
So I know what the last two songs are going to be, and how I get to those last two songs is a journey every time.
We're speaking with Aaron Lewis of Stained, who is in town tonight to do a solo acoustic show at the TLA, which is a great room down on South Street. I want to ask you about the 5-song EP, which will be out on Atlantic in the spring. And it is a little bit of a change in that it's going to have kind of a country twist to it. But you've said you've always liked country music. It's always been a part of you.
I mean, my grandfather had country music on all the time in the car. So any fishing memories or hunting memories or, you know, all the memories that I have with my grandfather is intertwined with country music in the background.
Huh.
And, you know, country had kind of left my life for a long time. No, not in the sense that you know, I wasn't living it, so to speak, but because my musical tastes went elsewhere.
Right.
And then we were out on tour with Kid Rock, on the very first tour we ever did on a tour bus, way back before Devil Without a Cause had even gone gold. It went gold about three quarters of the way through that tour. And I spent a few evenings riding the bus with Bob. And he reintroduced me to the George Joneses and the Hank Williams Jr. and Merle Haggard and all the stuff that my grandfather listened to. So as I'm sitting there listening to them, getting to know them, all these memories are coming back of my grandfather. And so it was very cool. And, honestly, songs like It's Been a While or Outside or So Far Away or Everything Changes or Epiphany or Zoe Jane or all those songs that I've written over the years on an acoustic guitar and then brought it to the band, all of them could have had country accompaniment put over the top of them and they would have worked just as well.
Yeah, you've said this album was recorded in Nashville, and you said it, in a quote, is kind of somewhere between country, James Taylor, and It's Been a While.
Well, it's still, if you strip the country accompaniment away, it's what you would expect me to put out there on playing an acoustic guitar and singing.
Well, and there's a song called Country Boy, and I understand it's going to be released in sort of a rock and in a country style, and you've got some incredible players on it. You got George Jones, you got Hank Williams Jr., Charlie Daniels on the fiddle. How, first of all, did you get them? Even if you were fans of them, did they know who you were?
Sometimes it's all about who you know.
Okay.
James Stroud, who produced these songs that I did, he's legendary, completely and totally legendary. 100-something number one singles under his belt, 60-something million records sold under his belt. I mean, he's serious. And when we got finished with the basic skeleton of the song, he was like, "So, who you want to have come in and do something on this?" And I was like, "Well," and I just I'm grasping at straws, just see what I could do. And
right.
I was like, "Well, it might be cool if it would be really cool if Charlie Daniels came in and played the fiddle on it." And he was like, "That's a good idea." And he picked up his cell phone.
Holy blank.
And he dialed the number. Wasn't even like go into the memory and find the number. It was just dial the number. And he was on the phone with Charlie, and the phone call lasted 15 seconds, and Charlie was coming in on Thursday.
Wow. And George Jones?
The same exact thing with George. And Chris Young is also on it.
That's right, Chris Young. And Hank Jr.
Hank, we couldn't get Hank on it. So we were trying because there's even a lyrical reference to him in the song, and so we figured out a way to still have that reference in the video.
Are you doing some of the country songs in the solo set that we'll be seeing tonight at the TLA?
I am.
Oh, cool.
I am. There's no country accompaniment, but I was lucky in the people that were wanted to be a part of it, and I was lucky in the first call A-lister session musicians that you can find their names, the guys who did the songs with me, their names are on every huge record that comes out of Nashville. Wow. And so it was a very cool experience.
Well, I see you have a guitar in hand. Could we trouble you to do something?
I was going to play Country Boy for you.
Oh, cool. This is Aaron Lewis.
Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964. My grandfather was a drinker back in the day he'd put him down. But a war is known to change a man, And the whiskey's known to change a man. That's not me. I rarely drink from the bottle, but I'll smoke a little weed. I still live in the sticks where you wouldn't go, in a town of 1200 off an old dirt road, and a country boy is all I'll ever be. Now it's been 12 years since I sold my soul to the devil in L.A. He said, sign your name here on the dotted line, and your songs, they all will play. He set up shop on Sunset, he put me up at the Marquee. He said, you wanna sell a million records, boy, better listen to me. He said, change your style, widen your smile, you can lose a couple pounds. And if you wanna live this life, you'd better lose that wife. Do you need your friends around? And I said, no, that's not me. 'Cause the biggest things in life are your friends and family. And I like my jeans and my old t-shirts, and a couple extra pounds never really hurt. 'Cause a country boy is all I'll ever be. 'Cause Hank taught me just how to stay alive. You'll never catch me out the house without my 9045. I've got a big orange tractor and a diesel truck, and my idea of heaven's chasing whitetail bucks. And as a country boy, I know I can survive. Now two flags fly above my land that really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave. Because this is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my beliefs. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, 'cause I've never needed government to hold my hand. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, 'cause my family's always fought and died to save this land. And a country boy is all I'll ever be.
Nice, very nice. Small studio audience, but we'll take that nonetheless. Aaron Lewis is who you just heard of Stained fame, who has a 5-song EP coming out with country flavors like that song, Country Boy. Just got a text asking when that will be out, Aaron.
Within the next couple months.
Okay, cool.
I know that you guys should be receiving a single soon to start playing and cool. Whatnot. So.
Very cool. Well, that song references friends and family is tremendously important. You reference them in every album. And you and your wife, Vanessa, just had great success reopening your daughter's elementary school. This is
yeah.
In Worthington, Massachusetts. It was closed due to budget cuts, and you started a foundation, which I love. It's called...
It Takes a Community.
It Takes a Community. And you can get there on Facebook. What is the Facebook address?
If you just go to the top of Facebook and punch in It Takes a Community, it'll come up.
Okay. And that foundation helped to actually save this school. Was it a kindergarten through sixth grade school prior to this?
It was kindergarten to fourth.
Fourth, okay. And there are two or three schools in your little town that got closed.
Well, two or three schools in our school district.
Okay.
Our town only has the one school. It's a town of 1,200 people, and that's, you know, our school district is 200 square miles, and there's a little over 1,000 kids in it.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a small town. And they closed three schools, and we're the farthest town away, and our kids realistically would have been on the bus for, you know, over an hour and a half in each direction, my five-year-old and my eight-year-old, and that wasn't acceptable to me. So I created the foundation and went out and I played shows all summer, and I put together a benefit show at the end of the summer. And
yeah, that was August 14th. It was in Northampton, and you had Brendan Kelly, Low Pro. You had Sean Morgan of Seether, Brad Arnold and Chris Henderson of Three Doors Down.
Yeah.
It sounded like a great day.
And Jeff Keith from Tesla.
Oh, really?
Was there,
okay,
as well.
Cool.
And he came out and he played a couple songs during my set. I played and he sang. It was awesome.
I saw a little video of it on the box. On
he
the
sounds
internet.
Better now than he did back in the 80s.
Huh.
I mean, he's it's unbelievable.
Did the benefit do well in terms of that and the other shows you did, which raised money for it? You raised enough to do it.
That's primarily how we opened the doors on September 1st, and
wow,
and how we restocked and restaffed and refurnished and recurriculumed the entire school in from June 23rd to September 1st.
I watched a local newscast on the Stained website about the reopening, and it was really joyful. You know, you and your wife are featured there, and you see all the kids going into this little school. And, you know, it's one of these success stories that can happen when people commit to something. You got it open, but how the heck do you keep it open? Because it takes a community, it takes
it's
a village
it's
to
a
keep
real,
these things going.
It's a real privately funded, it's a real private school. It's got a curriculum, it's got a director, it's got a board of directors. We did it properly,
right,
and set it up properly, and it just goes to show what, you know, a little bit of diligence and tenacity and a strong community can do.
Another community event that you're congratulations, first of all. I love the fact that you guys did that. Another thing I read that you're going to be doing is called the Rock and Ride in Texas. It's on Halloween, October 31st, going from Langhorne Harley-Davidson to the Palladium Ballroom. You love motorcycles. Are you actually riding in this thing? And what
of
is
course.
It? Okay.
It's a charity ride, and it ends at the parking lot of the Palladium where I'm playing a show that night, and there's like a big party in the parking lot and barbecue and the whole deal, and then the show that night.
Cool. And you're very busy. You're also going on a USO tour.
I did that already.
Oh, you did that. Okay.
Yeah.
You went to the Persian Gulf?
I went to Kuwait.
Okay.
And when I got to Kuwait, the next step of my trip was to get issued. I was doing one show in Kuwait, and then I was to be issued my body armor and helmet, and I was supposed to fly into Kandahar and play shows to all the forward operating bases that are actually in it right now. And it was escalated enough over there where they didn't allow me to go to Afghanistan, so I stayed in Kuwait, and that was an amazing experience all in itself, because the military bases that I went and hung out at for 16 hours a day was all the soldiers that were coming or going.
That's amazing. You had to get a great feeling out of doing that for those guys.
I'm already trying to figure out how to get back there again sooner than later.
We're speaking with Aaron Lewis, and before we let you go, I just got to ask you a couple things. I love on the website that you can get a personal tour of Aaron Lewis's guitar collection.
Mm-hmm.
The guy...
That was a Gibson thing.
Yeah, well, it's cool, though. I mean, certainly they're featured quite heavily, but they asked you a good question, like, if your house is on fire, what would you grab first? And you say, the first one I'd run in and grab would be my 1958 ES-335. They only made 10 of them.
355.
355.
It's a 355, which they only made 10 of them in 1958. And unlike a normal 355, it did not have the stereo varitone knob on it.
Huh.
It's wired mono just like a 335. So it's really a fully dressed with an ebony fretboard and the much more, you know, ornate binding and everything. It's a 335 that's fully dressed.
I get it.
And they only made 10. And that was, and so it's not even the way it's supposed to be from the factory.
Huh.
So that makes it even rarer.
I just love that you have all these guitars pictured, for example.
I take that sucker out on tour. I play it every night.
Well, yeah. You were asked in this interview
about...
It's the
best damn sounding guitar I've got. How am I... Why am I supposed to leave that home?
Well, yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of artists will you know, take out different guitars, not the ones that they recorded with, because they don't want them to get hurt or anything like that. Yeah. And you bring out the stuff on tour.
I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I think
just
it's great.
Stay away from my guitars.
Don't hurt them.
There's 15 people on stage that will kill you before you get any further than the side stage with one of my guitars.
You have a 1950 J45, and you got it at the Guitar Center in Hollywood,
yep.
And you stole it from another country artist. Well, you didn't steal it,
well,
but
I got it out from underneath. He was coming back. I believe he actually got to the store and was looking for the guitar before I left. They were just finishing up the sale with me, and he came walking in, and I just kind of slipped out with the guitar.
And he would be?
It was, what's his name?
Keith Urban.
It was Keith Urban's guitar tech that was in there.
One of your guitar techs also names your guitars, and you have one, an Angus, which is a 1966 Gibson SG, named Angus because?
Because you plug it into a Marshall amp and you start playing AC/DC riffs and it sounds just like it.
And the one I guess I love the most is a picture of a 1951 J45, and it is the most beat-up looking guitar I have ever seen. You're featuring in this page of your website both electric and acoustic guitars, but this thing looks like it doesn't even work anymore, but
I play it tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole front
That guitar right there in front of a microphone in the studio is the best sounding finger picking guitar that I have. If I'm not using a pick and I'm plucking with my fingers, that guitar is the best sounding guitar that I have.
Wow.
But then this guitar is the best sounding guitar I have with a capo on it.
Huh.
And then the big 1950 J200 that I play as pretty much my main guitar is the best sounding, you know, just openly tuned guitar in front of a microphone that I've got. So they all have their own little tricks for their what they're for.
We're speaking with Aaron Lewis on MMR. People are texting in. One person texted in saying, I have a autograph of Aaron Lewis on my foot, and I had it tattooed in. People love you, and you have
a few
tattoos.
It's a surprisingly and disturbingly popular thing to do.
I'm wondering if any of the guys in Stained feel at all threatened when you do the acoustic solo thing.
I hope not.
Or when you put out the, you know, another record in another style, like the country record, which will be out.
I hope not. You know, I've never, ever, ever said that I was going anywhere, and I've never given them any reason to believe anything differently, and I'm not, and I think that they can both coexist, and I think that they're different enough from each other that they're not going to cannibalize from each other, and I don't think it's going to hurt or affect anything.
Cool. In fact, you said that you guys will gather again in November to start kicking songs around.
November's has been completely blocked out, aside from the first week that's the tail end of this tour, has been completely blocked out for hunting. I won't be hunting and birthday parties.
I said to Ted Nugent one time, I interviewed him, and I said, have you hunted lately? And he goes, I hunt every day. And I said, well, I'm a vegetarian. And he goes, I only eat vegetarians. Even though
that's
he and
Ted.
I didn't quite agree on some things, he's a great guy with a great sense of humor. So after hunting season is when Stain will regather, right?
Yes. December 1st, we start the whole process, and you know, we we do it all at one shot. We write and record and everything all in one kind of never-ending motion. It's very refreshing and spontaneous and it's magic when you do it that way.
And you said you're going to meet up in your barn. Do you have a rehearsal space / studio in your barn?
It's you know, 30 by 40 high, big post and beam, totally wide open barn that we recorded the last record in there. And sonically, that last record is some of the best tones we've ever had, and it was in the barn.
That's great.
And it's not sound treated or anything. You can be standing 300 yards down the road from my house and hear the drums as clear as day. But I think that's why it sounds so good recording in there, because nothing's bouncing back.
Yeah.
It's all just going straight through.
You talked about a couple different rooms. You've played the Nokia Theater in L.A. versus the Grand Ole Opry Theater in Nashville, and how much better the Nashville sound was when you played acoustically, because you could almost do it without a microphone.
Well, the thing with an old venue like the one down in Nashville is that, you know, the Ryman Theater was made so long ago that it was made to be its own amplifier, where there wasn't sound systems back then, and it was made to still entertain a full room of people.
Right.
So acoustically, a Nokia Theater, for a perfect example, they are some of the most sound-dead rooms in the country. That it's great for the sound man if he likes a dead room. And the sound man, that's why you find a good sound man, because he paints everything and makes it so that everything that you're hearing is what he's giving you and not what the room is slapping around. And so sound men usually like a really dead room, but it's tough to play acoustically because the room it's not creating its own reverb. You're not hearing all that, the room. So, but
Tony Bennett does this thing where he plays, when he plays the Academy of Music here, where he'll put his microphone down and just with his combo on piano will sing without a microphone. If the room
I do that every night.
Do you? That's cool.
I unplug the guitar and I sit on the side of the stage and just belt one out to the room.
That's great. Aaron Lewis is at the TLA tonight playing in a solo acoustic fashion. Is there an opening act?
No.
So you're on about 8 o'clock, give or take?
Yeah.
Cool.
And
an evening with Aaron Lewis tonight.
I usually play a couple hours.
Cool. And a few tickets remain at the door if you'd like to go. You're always grateful. You were always never hesitant about offering thanks. What are you thankful for today at this moment as you look at things?
Everything. You know, I'm very, very lucky to still be here and still be doing this. And I'm so thankful for the fans that we have that keep this ride going and keep the wheels greased. And you know, as long as they want what we have to offer, we'll keep doing it.
Cool.
And when we don't have any fans left, there's no reason to make music anymore.
There's always reason to make music. Aaron Lewis, great to have you back here at MMR.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Let's play again from the vaults of our MMR archives something you and the guys in Stain did called It's Been a While on 93.3. This was recorded August 10th, 2005, by the way, 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. Aaron Lewis at the TLA tonight.